I'd like to read from Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. And this is Jesus' parable of talents. Jesus said this, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. And so also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's treasure. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, 'You entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and enjoy your master's happiness.' The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, 'You entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received 1 talent came. Master, he said, 'I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not gathered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I have not gathered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will be given in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him and thrown the worthless servant outside into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. We've been doing a series on the parables of Jesus, and so this morning we're looking at the parable of the talents. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this man, and he was driving through this intersection, and he saw one of those cameras that takes a picture when you're speeding and sends you a ticket, and so he made sure that he drove real slow, and as he drove underneath the camera, he saw the camera flash, and so he was so upset by that because he knew he wasn't speeding, so he decided he was going to go around the block, and he was going to drive through it again, even slower this time, and so he looked at the camera, and it flashed again, and he was so upset that he went through it 3 more times, and later that week, he received 5 tickets in the mail for driving without a seatbelt. You know, sometimes we're focused on the wrong things, and I think the parables, there's something about the parables that sort of redirects us to the right things, because it's so easy to get distracted by the wrong things. And sometimes they sort of lure us in with things that are familiar, but then they surprise us with something that's new and different and insightful in a powerful way. And so this morning, this parable of the talents, I think, is like that. It teaches us to discover our talents and to dedicate them to God. And so let's just walk through that this morning as we think about Faith Promise Sunday. And the first thing is just at the heart of the matter, when you sort of look at this story, it's sort of interesting. This man, he goes on this trip, he's planning, and so he brings his servants together, the hired workers of his, and it says that he gives them each one separate according to their ability. So he gives 1 5 talents, 2 talents, and the other 1 1 talent. And then he goes away, and we're told that the first servant goes, and he takes his 5 talents, and he does something with it, he invests it, and he makes 5 more. And so also the one with 2 talents takes those 2 talents, and he goes, and he invests it, does some kind of a business or something, and he makes 2 more. But the one with 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and put it in there. And then the master comes back with sort of a surprise that he shows up, and then the first two servants are delighted to see the master. The one with 5 talents goes and gets the 10 talents, the 5 that he was given, and the 5 more gives them to his master. And the master says, you've done so great, and so thank you, and share in my happiness and my abundance. And then the one with 2 talents and has earned 2 more, and so he comes with great happiness as well to the master and presents them to them, and the master again says exactly the same that he did with one with 10. He treats him exactly the same. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and so you'll be given many, and abundance will be yours." And then this one servant who only had 1 talent comes and says, "You're a hard master. You're difficult. You're tough. And so I went and I didn't take any risks. I just buried that 1 talent in the ground, and here's what yours." And the master looks at him and says, "Well, if you knew I was so tough, why didn't you at least put it on deposit with the bank and it would earn interest?" And so he scorns him and gives that 1 talent to the person who has 10. And then we're told that those who have much will be given more, and those who don't do anything won't have even that taken away. It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, when you think about this parable, I was always a person who felt sorry for the person with one talent. Are you with me there? I guess because I saw myself there. And the truth is that we all have talents. And all of us have some talents, and so we need to plan and be intentional about that. When you think about this guy with one talent, you have to remember what a talent was at this time. A talent was a measure of weight, and so it could be worth different kinds of things. But what we know is this, is that it's 10,000 denarii, roughly. And one denarii was roughly one day's earnings. So when you look at one talent, it's somewhere between 25 and 30 years worth of wages. So even if you have one talent, you're really quite wealthy. It's quite a bit of money. It's a lifetime of wages. And it's interesting, isn't it, when we look at that, we think of talent, and this was a measure of money at that time. And we use talent today as sort of our talents in music and arts and all kinds of things. So it's interesting the way that's come into our culture. And traditionally, the church has looked at this sort of talents as our time and our treasure and our talents, which I think is great. It's sort of all of our life. You know, all of us have some of each. All of us have a lifetime of each when you look at it. We think of our time, and for many people, time is the most precious thing in the world. We live in such a hurried and worried world that we're all running in every different direction. And so time is precious. And we all have some treasure. I mean, sometimes it might not seem like treasure, but we all have something. We have a lifetime of earnings, and what are we going to do with that? And then we have talent. We do have musical talent and art talent and all kinds of gifts, and maybe it's leadership or it's administration, whatever it is. God has given us all talents, and we're all different. And so each of these servants is given something according to their ability, something that's beautiful and wonderful. And I like what Rick Warren has this thing called shape and looking at your own life. And it's just sort of the word shape. And it kind of emphasizes the unique differences that we all have. And the S is for spiritual gifts. We all have some spiritual gifts. The H is for heart. What's your passion? What really sort of lights you up? And A is for abilities. We all have these natural abilities. P is for our personality. You know, some of us are sort of extroverts. We go get in, and sort of others are introverts, really good listeners. And all those things are important. And the last thing is experiences. We all have experiences. And sometimes our most difficult experiences can be a tremendous gift as we share what we've gone through with someone who's going through the same thing. And they feel a kind of a trust and kind of lead into our strength. And so all those things are part of our life. And God has blessed us with a life that we're able to give back to others and to give back to Him, our time, our treasure, and our talents. So the first thing is to plan our life, to be intentional about giving and stewardship, because life can just fly by so very, very quickly. The next thing we look at that is that, notice that the giving is proportional. You know, the truth is that giving isn't necessarily equal, but we are all equal. Giving isn't necessarily equal, but we're all equal. You know, if it were me, I would really like to sing like Elvis. Is there anyone out there who would like to sing like Elvis? And I'd like to play the guitar like Santana. Now, that would be what I'd want to do. And maybe have the money of Donald Trump, though I wouldn't want to run for president for anything in the world. But I mean, it's so easy to think about someone who we think is more talented than us. And it's easy to think about someone who's got gifts that we want, rather than looking at our own life and saying, here's the gifts that I've been given. Here's the time that I have. Here's the treasure that I have. Here's the talents that God has blessed me with, and to put that to use. And so when God gives us these things, God just wants us to give back proportionally. And the biblical pattern is a tithe, which is 10%. And as we look at that, sometimes when people just start giving, it's a challenge. And so maybe you can just do a 5 or a little bit less than that, and maybe work it up. Some people give more than that. But to plan about it and to say, well, you know, I have a proportion I want to give back. And there's some time that I want to dedicate. I know time is precious, but I want to give some time back some way to the church and to the community and to people. And I have some treasure. None of us has as much treasure as we'd like, I think, but we all have some. And so what's the treasure that I can give back and sort of plan that and to be a steward of that? And then we all have some talent, whatever our talent is, and not to be envious of someone else's talent, but to really look at our talent and say, how can I give back the special blessings that God has given me? And they're all treated equally in that sense. And so what are we doing? Are we like this person with one talent? And notice that he wasn't given an excuse. He buried his talent. Maybe he said, well, I didn't get five or I didn't get two. I'm just going to bury it. It's not worth the trouble. And yet a talent was, you know, tens of thousands of dollars today, a lifetime in wages. It's sort of calculated what 25 to 30 years of your wages would be. And so really, I think part of it is that Jesus is saying there really is an excuse. You can't say, I'm not as talented as someone else. I'm not as wealthy as someone else. I don't have the time that someone else has. None of us are given excuses. So the most important thing is to sort of look at what we're given by God, our time, treasure, and talent, and then to give back a proportion of that. And that's what we're judged for. That's what we're sort of looked at and blessed with. The question for all of us is, are we bearing our talents? Are we bearing our talents? Are we willing to take a risk and to put it to work like those other two servants? And the next thing is that it's purposeful. You know, there's a purpose to this, and it's really to serve God and to serve others and to build up the body of Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Paul says this, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of Christ. You know, we don't give in order to earn God's love. We give in return for that. And when we give of our time, treasure, and talents, we bless other people. We bless other people by the missions and ministries that we have. We bless other people by dedicating our lives. And we set an example for our children and for generations to come. Paul says this in Romans chapter 12, and he's emphasizing the kind of different gifts that we have. He says this, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body and many members, these members do not all have the same function. So also in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then lead diligently. In showing mercy, do it cheerfully. To bless others and to build up God's body, the members of Christ, the church as one family, is so important. And there's a truth here that I think that when we think about giving is that, and it's kind of a shocking, startling thing that's in here, which is use it or lose it. And you need to use our gifts or we lose them. And just as you think about when you exercise, you grow. So also in our time, treasure, and talents, when we exercise those things, they grow. But if we don't exercise, then we lose muscle. We atrophy. There's no sort of in the middle. And so when you think of this man who has the one talent and buried it, and Jesus takes it away from him. And so if you use it and put it to work, it will grow. But if you just bury it, you'll lose it. So use it or lose it and exercise it, and it will bring growth. The last thing to think about in all this is that it's positive. You know, there's a real emphasis in the passage, throughout these passages, but especially in the one that Gary read earlier, 2 Corinthians 9:6, and listen again to those words that he read. It says this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies need to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Amen. You think about that, and then Paul goes on to use this thing about overflowing in the bounty and blessing of God. And so you think about that, sowing generously. And I heard someone say this one time, and it was a long time ago, and it really stuck with me, the truth they said. And what they said was this. They said, what you keep, you keep. What you keep. But what you give to God, God multiplies and blesses. What you keep. But what you give to God, God multiplies and blesses. And there's so much of that truth in that parable of the talents. And so Sometimes we think about life, and we get so caught up in the day-to-day, we get caught up in bills, and we get caught up in meeting deadlines and all the things that we have to do. But when we think of a lifetime, what's the mark that we want to make on our family and on our community and on our church and on the world? And I think it's really not about making money, it's about making a difference. It's about being stewards of our lives and not to so much worry about success as significance, something that matters for all eternity. And so this morning, as we think about Faith Promise Sunday, think about this, Jesus' words. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." I should caution and say that, you know, sometimes you hear two kinds of extremes in the church today, and one is sort of the message of prosperity, and the other is the message of poverty. And there's some folks who say, well, you know, if you just do this, God is going to give you every wish that you ever wanted. You don't have to worry about anything, and that's really not biblical. And on the other hand, there's some challenges that you'll face in life, and I think when you look at it, the overall measure of your life will be blessed, but it doesn't mean that you can just sort of wave a magic wand and God will give you everything you ever asked for, because otherwise we'd probably be spoiled children. But God will bless us. There's also sort of this, a gospel of poverty that says that you have to be impoverished to follow God. And the truth is, we just need to give our lives to God and follow His measure. But when you think for a moment about Jesus' words here, and Jesus says again, "Give it will be, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, you have to go back to really understand this image that Jesus is using. So, we all had a great time out there at the Food Harvest Bank Day, and we got to see all Gary's toys, you know, and the combine and the tractor and the truck and all these kinds of things. And I'm all for modern conveniences and technology and all that. But back at this time, there wasn't any combines or tractors. And so when they harvested by hand. And they'd have these laborers in the field, and if a laborer worked real hard all day long, the master would typically go up to that laborer at the end of the day and say, "The last bushel is yours." Okay, so I don't know if you remember a bushel basket, what these look like. Bushel basket, and he'd say, "The last bushel is yours." And so you can bet that servant had it what? Pressed down, shaken together, because you know if you want to put everything you can in a bushel, you have to shake it and press it down and shake it and press it down and running over. And so Jesus is saying, with the measure that you give and the abundance you give to God, then you're going to be given back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so there's a promise of blessing that Jesus gives with some beautiful imagery. And so when we think about our giving to God each and every day, not just today, but this is a special day, that it should be planned, it should be intentional, it should be proportional. We're only entrusted and responsible for what God has given us, and we give a proportion of that back of our time, treasure, and talents. It should be purposeful. We use it for God's glory and for serving others. And it should be positive, to do it with a cheerful heart, because that touches our hearts. And so also some of the truths that I kind of highlighted there is that we all have talents. We all have time, treasure, and talents. And all of us is rich. All of us are rich, rather, because we have a lifetime of time and treasure and talents. And giving isn't always equal, but we're equal. And so look at our own gifts that we're blessed with. We're all equally loved by God, and that's the most important thing. And our gifts are not our own, really. They're God's, who's entrusted our gifts to us, His gifts to us, really. And we all have something to give, so put it to work. Because if you use it and exercise it, it will multiply. And if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And finally, just trust God for God's blessing. I want to just close with this story that's a true story. It took place back in 17th century Germany. A German preacher by the name of August Franke, and he lived at Halle, and he founded an orphanage there. And at one particular time in this orphanage in Halle, things were difficult, and so he was praying for God to just bless the orphanage and just keep it going. And he's in the middle of praying for that, and a Christian widow who was quite destitute knocked on his door and asked for one ducat, which is a gold coin. And so he looked at the woman and said, "Listen, I'm really at a difficult place here with just the orphanage." And she pleaded and she said she was a widow, she had no means. And so he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go upstairs for a moment. I'm going to pray and ask God what God would have me to do, because it wasn't just his life, it was the orphanage. And so he went upstairs and he prayed and he felt that God touched his heart in a special way and said that he needed to give that one ducat to that widow. And so he did. He went downstairs and said, God told me to give you this. And so he gave her that ducat. And a couple of days later, he received a letter from this woman. And this woman said that she was praying that God would bless him in the orphanage in a special way because of the sacrifice that he had made. Interestingly enough, that very same day, in the mail, Reverend Franker received 12 ducats from a wealthy woman who knew nothing about his situation, and 2 more ducats from a friend in Sweden. Now, he thought that he had been amply blessed, but just a week later, he received a note that he was to receive 500 pieces of gold from the estate of Prince von Württemberg, who would do nothing about his situation as well. And so he realized that God always blesses us. God always sees us through if we dedicate our lives to God. And so my challenge to us this morning is wherever we are, know that we're blessed, each of us, with time, treasure, and talent. And so to be good stewards of that and to realize that we all work together for God's glory and that when we see the Lord on the last day and the first day of eternity, that we'll be able to lay down our lifetime before the Lord, our time and our treasure and talent, and see, Master, I've done with my life what you'd have me to do. I've glorified you, and I've served others, and I've served you. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, sometimes we get in such a hurry in life, and we forget to take a step back and to be thankful. You've given us each so much in time, treasure, and talent, and sometimes we just get focused on other people's time, treasure, and talent. But the truth is, we're all wealthy and blessed by you. And so today, help us to just take inventory of our blessings, and then to decide what we're going to do that's going to be put aside just for you and your work. May all of us take a moment and give our time, treasure, and talents to be intentional this year and to bless others and to bless you. And may we just bless you with all we do, with the gift of life itself, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.